The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to Nicodemus, "No one has gone up to heaven except the one who has come down from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that he who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, as I said, today we celebrate the Feast of the Exaltation of the Cross, a day which we exalt in the cross, which can seem contradictory, right? Exaltation is like celebration, party, excitement, like let's exalt in this. You know, it's not a verb we use a lot. You know, you usually tell your friend, hey, we should exalt in this. But it's a formal term, but yes, celebration. But what do we as Christians celebrate? What do we put up there to say that's worth celebrating? The cross, right? The cross. Right? We don't have a, well, we do have the cross. And there it is, behind me here. And we have the celebration, the exaltation of Jesus, the resurrected Christ, but the cross. Most of our churches, we have that symbol because we celebrate it. Why do we celebrate it? We celebrate it because it is our victory, right? It's our celebration. How many of us have trophies, right? To remember some victorious moment or event or season, right? And we put it up there in the trophy chest and we're like, just to remember the glory days. Yeah, I did that once. I remember when I did that or I was on that team that accomplished this, right? Or that degree that I got. We're like, we put it up there to remind ourselves, like, hey, that's what is worth exalting in, celebrating. It's an accomplishment. Right? It's a victory. It's why we have museums. You ever wonder that? Why does a society take tax dollars and put it into museums? Because there's certain things, certain accomplishments of humanity, whether historic or just artistic, it's like, that's the best we can achieve, and it's worth remembering. Let's not forget that. Let's enshrine it so that everyone, when they have some free time, can go there and see that and say, you know what? That's what we should be. Right? It's culturally valuable to celebrate, to stick. That's what we do as Christians with the cross. It's our celebration, our victory, our trophy. It's our museum. It's like, hey, this is the best we can achieve, is that. And that's what we aspire to. Now, there's two truths that Scripture reveals to us about the cross and why we exalt in it that I want to highlight. And one comes from the book of Numbers, which is the story of the serpent, right? Because it shows, and it starts off with, when the worst of us appears, right? God saves the people, leads them into the promised land, is taking good care of them. And their patience is worn out with the journey. They're complaining against God and Moses. So God is taking good care of them. Sure, it's a path of liberation. They are in the desert, right? Not going as fast as they might want. They have been slaves for 500 years. There's a process to liberation. It doesn't happen overnight. And they're complaining. They're fed up, right? How many parents have worked hard cooking something for your kids and then it gets on the plate, on the table, and they're like, eh, I don't want this. And it's everything you can do to say, well, honey, you know, because you work so hard to care for me. Like, they're complaining because they don't like it, right? The worst of us shows up. And then the Lord, out of justice, says, okay, well, if you don't like how I'm taking care of you, then I'm going to let you suffer the consequences, right? Let's the serpent go into him. And I love the serpent as a reality, but also as a symbol, as an animal. What scares us about the serpent is we don't know which it can move any direction very quickly. It's not like it's got four legs that you can at least kind of see which direction. It's like, it can go anywhere. Yeah, I don't, I'm not a fan. I like some animals. Serpent's not my thing, right? It's unsettling, right? We grab them, you can't control them, they can come from anywhere, right? That's what the complaining person is. The ungrateful person in the soul that rebels against the care and love that you're providing. And God says, like, this is what you are like to me, who's loving and liberating and saving you. If this is the way, I'm going to let you deal with what that's like, right? And then he forces them, it's what, once they finally repent, it's like, I'm going to make you put that up on a staff. And if you want to be healed from that, that rebellion, that complaining, that sinful attitude, you're going to have to look at it and face it. You have to see it. That's you at your worst. And if you look at it and you admit it and you own it, you'll be healed. That's the spiritual, I think, interpretation of that mystery. There's a negative thing to it. Like, you have to admit and see where you're ungrateful if you want to be healed from that. If you're a complainer, it's like, okay, great, step back. Let you take care of you. And then, okay, no, we're sorry. All right, don't forget that, right? Remember you're capable of that. Look at it. See it. Like, there's a purgative nature to recognizing and admitting and seeing that, right? It's like any relationship when someone has failed. You don't want to rub it in the face, but you do want them to own it and understand it and say, hey, I see where I went wrong. Okay, good. I can trust you because at least you've seen it. Now we can work on it. But if they ignore it totally, you're like, well. So then the second is the beautiful side of it. When Jesus is lifted up on the cross, he's saying to us, what's worst about you? I'm going to step into that because injustice, it needs addressed. But rather than you have to take that on yourself, I'll take it for you. Like, I'm going to step into the worst of you, and I'm going to respond with love and forgiveness and mercy and show you the way so that you can do it too. And I think that's why Jesus in the gospel says and refers to this symbol, this event in the history of the chosen people. And just as Moses lifted up a serpent, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. There's a sinfulness that needs addressed. There's a division here that needs addressed. There's an injustice. Repentance and forgiveness and love needs to be returned to God because we've rebelled and rejected him. And the Son of Man, I've come down to step into that, to be sacrificed for that, to take your place, to reestablish. And you need to look on that and believe. You need to assent and love and see that, wow. At our worst, God stepped into that and said, I love you anyhow. I'm going to love in your favor, and I'm going to gain forgiveness for you, and I'm going to lead the way of how you should respond. I'm going to do that for you. And so it is our trophy. And so we put it up there and say, it shows the best of us as it shows the worst of us. And that's why it's the triumph. It's the mystery. It's like God became man. He didn't grasp, as the second reading said, to his quality of being God. But he emptied himself of that, took the form of a slave, came down in human likeness. And being found human, he humbled himself, became obedient to this law of justice that needed satisfied. Even to the point of death. It wasn't like it got close and he was like, ah, surprise, oof, game over, thanks be to God, that was close. All the way to the end. Gave up. Death on a cross. Finished it. And because of this, God greatly exalted him. And that's why we exalt in the cross. Someone loved us, even in our worst, all the way to the point where then we could say, looking on that, say, that's the way I want to live. That's worth imitating. That's worth following. That's worth celebrating. That's worth exalting. Jesus interprets once again the way we're supposed to interpret Jesus on the cross. Himself. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son so that he who believes in him might not perish like the Son did, but have eternal life. Because God didn't send the Son in the world to condemn the world. He didn't come in here and say, all right, everybody get up there and do it. You deserve this. No, he did it to save them, to take our place. So, brothers and sisters, I know it's a mystery that we believe in this Christ and are invited then to live the way he lived, to love up into that, to look around to those who maybe offend us and say, you know what? I get that. I'm going to love you anyhow. I'm going to be like Jesus and triumph in these circumstances through love. I'm going to live the mystery that he himself shows us and triumph with him in his cross. Amen.